Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That was the first thing we said when we saw him. My fellow lepers and I don't know if it was the right thing to say or the only thing to say, but that's what we needed more than anything, mercy. I used to be a leper, something that's probably difficult for you in the 21st century to understand. Leprosy sounds like something far away, and like a foreign myth, or maybe when you hear the term leprosy, you immediately think of Hansen's disease, the disease in India in which a bacteria causes the nerve ends to die and then the limbs rot and fall off. Back in my day, we did not have the antibiotics that can easily treat Hansen's disease today. Mother Teresa famously worked among those so-called untouchables. But in my time, in the first century, when Christ walked the earth, leprosy was a catch-all term for every kind of skin disease, everything from psoriasis and eczema to various boils and sores on the body, on the skin. But whatever you called it, whether you think of modern-day India or ancient Israel, leprosy made you untouchable, unclean. That's what people used to call me, unclean. There are two entire chapters in the Law of Moses devoted to all of the rules and regulations for how to deal with leprosy. And it basically boils down to this: have nothing to do with a leper, nothing. Don't touch him. Don't let him come in your house. Don't eat with him. If you have a wife and children, it doesn't matter. If you're a leper, you can't go home anymore. In fact, you're kicked out of town. You have to beg for a living on the outskirts of where civilized people live. You're not allowed to cut your hair or to change your clothes anymore either, because you need to be very visibly troubled from a distance so that people know that you are dangerous and unclean. And then if they get too close, you have to warn them. You have to shout, unclean, unclean. And so being a leper means you are alone, cut off from family, cut off from community. You can't even go to the synagogue or church to worship. So you feel as though you are cut off from God. You're cut off because you are unclean. When I met Jesus, I had not seen my family in several years, at least not up close. I couldn't hug or kiss my wife. I couldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. And I had to watch my daughter grow up from a distance, trying to peer through the city gates and see if I could get some glimpse of her playing in the street with the other children. I didn't know what her mother had told her about me, whether she told her that I was a leper banished from town or if she told her I was dead, but what difference did it make? Because either way, it was the same. I was cut off, because that's what it means to be a leper. Now, as you know, they often say that, you know, in the lowest castes of society, sometimes there people band together. But in my case, there was another fact that even separated me and made me lower class than the lowest caste among the lepers. And that is that I am a Samaritan. I'm not a Jew. I'm not part of the house of Israel. And the Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. They say that we're dirty, that we're unclean just by our birth, regardless of whether or not we have leprosy, that we're little better than pagans because we're the wrong race and the wrong religion from the wrong side of the tracks. And so, just another kind of person to discard and disregard. So you know that when I begged Jesus for mercy, I needed it desperately. The mercy I needed was relief from pain and discomfort and the ability to go back home again to be with my family. Now, I had heard about Jesus, and I'd heard about all the miracles that he had done, healing sick people, giving sight to the blind, even rumors that he raised the dead. And I wondered, what could he do for a leper like me? And so when Jesus drew near, I cried out, my other lepers, we cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, have mercy. Kyrie eleison, have mercy upon us. Because meeting Jesus was a once in a lifetime opportunity, and we couldn't let it just pass us by, literally, as he walked down the road. And you know what? As Jesus got closer, he heard us. And unlike most people who would look the other way and walk as far on the other side of the street as they could, he actually stopped and looked at us and listened to us. And he talked to a bunch of lepers. But at first, his words didn't seem right. In fact, they stung a little bit. He said, "Go away and show yourselves to the priests." Now, you may not understand the significance of that, but we certainly did. See, lepers only go to the priest two times. Once, when your illness first breaks out on your skin, for the priest to diagnose and verify that indeed it is a skin disease, a skin condition, and not just some injury, and to tell us that we are banished from our family and from the community. And the only other time that you would be allowed to go back to the priest, that you'd be sent to the priest, is if you thought you were better, so that he could inspect you from head to foot, make sure that you're okay, that you are cleansed, that you are okay to re-enter into society. But Jesus didn't do any of the things that he'd done in these other miracles of healing that I heard about. He didn't touch us. He didn't say that we are going to be healed. He just told us to go and see the priest. But we'd already been there, done that. We already knew we were lepers. And so why was he telling us to leave? So we walked away. And as we were going, we suddenly realized, miracle of miracles, that we were healed. I was just going along, shuffling my feet, kicking the stones, and suddenly I had a little itch on my nose, and I went to scratch it. And I noticed that there were no blemishes on my skin. The sores were gone. No rash. I pulled up my sleeve and saw that my arms were clean too. I hitched up my robes and saw that my legs were clean. The leprosy was gone, and I was clean. "Look," I said to the other guys, and I saw that they were clean too. Our jaws just dropped to the floor. It was a miracle. And so the others began to be very excited. They ran off to go see their families again, knowing that they could go home and they could go back to the synagogue. But I knew what I needed to do. I knew where I needed to go. And that was back to the one who had healed me, the one who had mercy on me. I ran and found Jesus, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet, and I praised and thanked God. "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you." But Jesus looked around with kind of a sad look on his face. And he said, "Weren't 10 of you healed? Weren't 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? Did only one come back, and him, a Samaritan, the only one that could praise God?" And he reached down, grabbed my hand. I felt human touch for the first time in a long time. And he raised me up, and he said, "Go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you." He forgave my sins and he saved my person, body and soul, my total person. I know that your English Bible only records that Jesus' words were, "Your faith has made you well." But in the Greek language that we spoke in my part of the Roman Empire, that word for save, all that word sozo, does not just mean to heal or make well, but it means to save. It's the same word used in John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The same word, because that's what Jesus does. He saved me. He saves you. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us is not so different than what you pray in your fancy prayer that you call the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And when you pray that prayer, he does have mercy. He cleanses your heart. He washes your sins. He holds out the promise of ultimate healing on the day of resurrection, because Jesus saves you. When I first saw Jesus coming, I thought that what I needed more than anything was to be healed of my leprosy. But what I discovered after meeting Jesus is that what I needed healed from more than anything was my own uncleanness of my heart because of my sins. And even as wonderful as it was to be gone of the leprosy, to be able to go home again, to see my wife and my children, the greatest healing of all was the healing of salvation. When Jesus healed me, when he saved me, my heart overflowed with happiness. How could I hold back my joy? How could I not thank and praise him? Like the Lord, I'll never understand why those other nine didn't go back to say thank you. But that is how cold and callous human beings can be, right? We receive everything from God as a gift, but we so often forget to thank him in our prayers and in our praise and in our worship. God has given you so much. I mean, in your time, as Americans in the 21st century, you are the healthiest, wealthiest, most blessed people in the history of the world. Your medical system is so advanced that you would never kick a leper out of the community. You'd be able to give him antibiotics and treat him. But for all of the ways that God has blessed you, sometimes you still struggle to praise the Lord and to give him thanks for what he has done. Of course, the greatest gift of all is your salvation, the healing not of your hands, but of your heart. And when you cry out for mercy, God sends his forgiveness to you through Jesus Christ, his Son, the one who died for you and died for me, the one who heals our diseases and forgives all of our iniquities. And so Jesus says to you, get up. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. I hope that you too will bow down and worship before Jesus and give thanks for his wonderful gifts. In the name of Jesus, amen.